Welcome to the Grin Gets Real podcast, the show for people who want to maximize their marketing potential. My name is Katya, and I am your host on this exciting journey as we talk to our experts who join us. From influencer marketing to e-commerce strategy and everything in between, each episode will feature industry experts that share their insights and provide actionable tips to help you achieve your marketing goals. So put your AirPods in, turn up the volume, and get ready for our guest today, Anthony Blattner. Anthony, welcome so much to the Grin Gets Real podcast. I'm super excited to have you on here talking about leveraging LinkedIn and then sprinkling in a little bit of Facebook comparisons as well on really how to maximize your social media marketing. But before we do get started, I'd love for you to share a little bit about your expertise and about yourself.
Sure. Thanks for having me. Glad to be here and talking about LinkedIn. So a little bit about myself is I run Speedwork Social. We're a LinkedIn advertising agency. All we do is focus on LinkedIn ads. And a little bit about me is I got into the marketing world kind of via the software world. Back in the day, I used to develop software and I had an agency that built mobile apps for people. And we built a lot of apps and some would do really well with a good marketing plan. And other ones would, they could be just as good of software, but if they didn't have a good marketing plan, they would sit on the app store and no one would download it. Struggle. So that kind of got, that was my segue into the marketing world was once you built an app, you needed to do marketing for it. And then over the last several years, I've been focused strictly on LinkedIn and LinkedIn advertising campaigns, because that's what I've seen get the best results for all of our tech and B2B companies.
I'm really excited to dive into it because I think that it's a world that people want to explore. We know that there is a way to be super hyper targeted within LinkedIn, but not everybody understands really quite how to leverage it to the best of their abilities. But before we go down that rabbit hole, I'd love to hear from your side just kind of common misconceptions that you see people have when it comes to just kind of any paid advertising strategy to begin with.
Yeah. So the two things that I'd say are the biggest pitfalls that I see is, first is with LinkedIn, people assume it's too expensive. And I will first say LinkedIn is a much more expensive channel, but for the right company, it makes sense. So if you are a high ticket type of offer that you're selling and you need to target a niche decision maker at scale, that's where LinkedIn is going to be the best for you. So if you're looking to target finance directors at law firms of a certain size, LinkedIn's the place to go for that. Whereas like that's going to be finding a needle in the haystack on Facebook. It's more expensive, but when you need that type of granularity, that's where it's useful. And then number two is I'd say going too direct for the book an appointment, get a free consultation type of offering your campaigns. For most companies, advertising, it's probably the first time that the viewer has ever heard about you. So we recommend being more educational with your content and offering what we call lead magnets and starting your campaign that way.
Okay, so let's talk about LinkedIn is too expensive. I've actually said that line myself, so I completely understand why it would be a potential misconception. And I hear what you're saying about really making it something of value, but how can you invest into LinkedIn while still investing into other paid media strategies as well? And where in the marketing funnel do you place LinkedIn advertising? Is that a top of the funnel and awareness stage? Or are we going a little bit more middle of the funnel when it comes to LinkedIn advertising?
For a B2B company that needs to target a niche decision maker, so when you want to find somebody who's very specific, LinkedIn is great for being able to acquire that traffic. So we usually stick to top of funnel for LinkedIn. And it's because on other channels, it's just hard to find that target person on these other channels.
Yeah.
Whereas like on Facebook, you know, if we say like the finance director at law firms example, it's just going to be hard to find them on Facebook. So you have to start on LinkedIn to find those people. And then, you know, that's where they start clicking through to your site or they start signing up for your lead magnets and become aware of you there. And then once they have become a lead, then you can follow up with them via cheaper means. So once you've captured the lead or once they've been to your site, then you can retarget them with like Facebook ads or Google ads. And then you can send them emails and call them and follow up from there.
Well, I like where you're thinking about using it top of funnel and then a more cost efficient tool for retargeting. Do you think that Facebook, that's where it wins when it comes to retargeting then?
Yeah, so Facebook has a lower minimum for retargeting. So you can actually retarget faster on Facebook. On LinkedIn, the minimum is 300 people. On Facebook, the minimum is 100. So once you've had 100 people on your site or 100 leads, then you can use Facebook, which is overall a cheaper channel to use for your retargeting.
How would you, or do you have advice on kind of the best content to follow what you're talking about? So for example, I have a white paper that's incredibly in-depth. It's got all of the stats. To me, it seems like a sexy thing to put on LinkedIn, right? Like, hey, get this very in-depth report for free. And I don't know that I would say for free, but you know what I mean? Like, and then the people who download that in, because it's such a meaty piece of content, what is then that second retarget kind of value add to move them down the funnel if you're using or leveraging another less expensive tool to retarget?
So best content for a LinkedIn campaign is what we call lead magnets. They can be a guide or PDF, kind of just like you were explaining. Yours sounds pretty in-depth, and I'd recommend probably having a shorter version of that for the lead magnet itself. You know, a 50-page document, maybe that's something you email to them after they've already gotten your shorter one or after they've already learned a little bit about you. So what we see do best is typically checklists are great, and then case study. Checklists, because basically like a shorter digestible asset, because you know, if you say like, hey, this 50-page white paper, someone's like, oh, I have to sit down and go read this 50-page
yes.
paper. So just a lower conversion rate just purely because of that. And then also the other challenging one is like webinars. So like videos are great, recorded trainings are great, but webinars where you have to like plan a date on your calendar and then show up to it, that's another thing where people just mentally are like, oh, I need to schedule this. And most people are just like, I'm busy enough as it is. I don't want to put something else on the calendar. So we see a lower conversion rate because of that. But the best assets are short and easy downloadables, usually like 1 to 3 pages. Checklists often do the best, because also everyone wants to know what's on the checklist, whether you're the amateur or the expert, just to make sure you have your finger on the pulse. So checklists are great. And then like your 50-page thing, that could be a good follow-up, and maybe like in the second or the third email or some email down.
Excellent. Do you have some thoughts on what type of content then performs better on Facebook, for example? If you have someone that's coming through a checklist and you've emailed them something a little bit more in depth, would your advice to just kind of keep the brand top of mind when then you're retargeting them on Facebook? Or is it just kind of always this value add with any social media paid strategy that you have in place?
Yeah, the way I kind of see it is like once somebody enters your funnel, so say they sign up for a lead magnet on the front end on LinkedIn, you have their email address, then they kind of enter your retargeting funnel. And, you know, a lot of people talk about like the omnipresent strategy. Mm-hmm. You know, essentially it's like once they've been to your site and you have their email address, number one, an email follow-up sequence to follow up that person, and then the retargeting ads. So for Facebook, you know, Facebook is good for like video. So putting videos in the newsfeed in front of people. Overall, I recommend a kind of a variety of call to actions and a variety of content, because different people are going to consume different things at different times. And then, you know, everyone who signs up for your lead magnet, some people are hot and ready to buy. Some people are just getting started. So if you have that mixture of content, you can catch a wider net of people and then help them move down the funnel to you. So I recommend retargeting with content, whether it's just a video in the newsfeed or just links to get people back to your website, and then mixing in those direct call to actions of, okay, if you are ready to book a call, go here to book a call. And, you know, I'm also thinking like in email sequences, you might have emails that promote your blog posts, but then also you have emails that are like maybe framed from your sales guy reaching out saying, hey, I saw you downloaded our lead magnet. The next step most people take is to sign up for a free assessment. And you can book that here.
Excellent. So we've touched on the content. I'm also now very curious about the method of delivery of that content. And what I mean by that is LinkedIn has all of these ways that you can reach people. There's in mail, right? Then there's like promoting the events. And then there's like in the feed. And then there's the sidebar, and which I don't off the top of my head remember what like that sidebar advertising is. What's your advice to someone who is like, okay, this is great. I'm totally sold. I've got my checklist. Now I'm ready to put it in my ads manager. What should I pick? Is it in feed stuff? Is it in mail? Like, is there a difference? Should we just try it all?
the easiest place to start is start with ads in the newsfeed, the sponsored content, and it's going to look, it's going to be kind of your standard ad unit where it's going to be an image or a video, look like a post in the newsfeed. And then simplest, what you can do is use LinkedIn lead forms so that someone can see your ad, click on the ad, it'll open up a little form, they submit it right there, and then they're enrolled and can go on to your landing page to the next step, or you can email them the PDF or guide immediately afterwards. So basic place to start is with sponsored content using LinkedIn lead forms. And then once, you know, once someone's opted in, then retargeting them through all those other means, all those other ad units are good to use. Text ads and dynamic ads are the ones on the side.
There you go.
Those are LinkedIn's cheapest ad units.
Okay. So
depending on what is your offering, those you would have to click through and go to a landing page. Those are great for getting in front of people and retargeting people because you're going to pay per click and they actually don't get a ton of clicks, but people are going to see that at the top of their LinkedIn and on the right side of their LinkedIn. And whether they're just glancing at it, that's how you build brand awareness, how many times you see a company name popping up here and there. So text ads and dynamic ads are good for that retargeting to build more brand awareness with people who have already opted in, who have already been to your website.
That's super great advice. That there is that combination of brand awareness and conversions when it comes to LinkedIn. And the fact that you've given us just some advice on like the right content for each one of those. For LinkedIn, how long should I be running an ad so that I can see that return on investment?
My answer to that is going to depend on the length of your sales cycle. Typically, if you're using the sponsored content ads with lead forms, you know, you could be seeing leads day one. When you launch a campaign, people sign up day one, and immediately you'll be seeing people signing up, and you can look at their job titles and company names. You can pretty quickly see like, okay, these people are in line with who I want to target. Or these are people, you know, these job titles do not match and I need to go back to my targeting. But then after that, you know, once somebody becomes a lead and if they're signing up for a lead magnet, you know, lead magnets are ways that we lower the barrier to entry. They're not as direct as far as like you're booking a call now. So, you know, you will need to have the sales and marketing follow-up to then nurture those people to the point when they are ready to book a call and then purchase. So, you know, most B2B companies, they say that's between like 3 to 6 months or so. But, you know, on the front end, you want to evaluate, am I getting the right people? You know, are they the right job titles? Are they at the right companies? If so, let's keep going. And then after that, are they, you know, are these people following up in my funnel? Are they booking calls with my sales team or signing up for free trials or whatever your next step is? And then, you know, once you get to that point where you're like, hey, our average buying cycle is about 3 months, then you start evaluating, you know, are there purchases coming in? If so, awesome.
Do you ever run into skeptics when you say, look at the sales cycle? Because I don't know about your experiences, but I know, you know, working in multiple marketing teams, we're obsessed with a refresh. Like, let me see how it's performing, refresh, refresh, refresh. And we're always looking to like adapt our strategy if it's not performing. If you tie it back to sales cycle, I would imagine that you've got a tougher time for buy-in for that, at least from like the C-suite or like the VPs of marketing that someone who is running a LinkedIn program has to report back to.
So a couple things that we typically set up is number one, just a lead tracker. So all leads that are coming in are getting dumped into a list. And number one, you're going down that list and just verifying, like, do these meet our ideal buyer profile? If yes, they get a grade yes. If not, they get a no. And then you start grading them that way. And then you're building out your steps of your funnel so that over time, when you do see those conversions happening, you can then tie back a lead's worth X amount to us. And then those are, you fill in all the metrics of cost per book call and then like value of a demo and stuff like that. So you are building some more advanced tracking, but you know, if you're selling like a $100,000 piece of software, then you build those models, but it is definitely a little more work to do.
Now, we've covered just kind of the paid side of LinkedIn. I'm wondering, do you also advise people on like the organic strategy when it comes to LinkedIn, especially with how much it's developing and trying to keep up with everybody else too? What immediately came to mind is the stories feature, right? Mm-hmm. Like, how can we leverage both organic and paid together so we're maximizing our efforts that we're doing as marketers on LinkedIn?
So paid and organic do work together, you know, just like they do on Facebook. A couple of different strategies we usually use is number one, when you're running paid ads, you want to make sure you have the activity on your profile and your company page to support that. Because there's going to be people that go to do their research. They're going to click on your company name. They're going to click on your profile and what's there? You know, basically you want to have some activity so that somebody else can verify, like, okay, you're a real company. This is what else I can learn. And then when you have organic content that's doing well, that's usually a good candidate for boosting that into ads.
Nice.
And LinkedIn has kind of the standard boost feature, just like Facebook does. But then we can also just take those posts and dump them into an ad campaign and attach lead forms or whatever we want to do with them from there. They do work together a lot. You mentioned stories, and stories ads are definitely coming. I know they're in beta right now, so it'll be interesting to see how those roll out. And I think that'll make LinkedIn advertising even more video focused. Obviously, with stories, the nice thing is you're taking over someone's screen. They usually have sound on, and they're much more like engaging.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm glad that you said video, because my next question is actually about video, because along with stories, you know, I noticed there's so many, or maybe it's just people that I subscribe to, but there's so many people that are now live streaming, but it's tough to get in to be an approved person to be live streaming. Do you have any advice, or is there any workarounds for someone getting approved to go live so that they can be more engaged with their audience? Or is it just something that is a little bit in the, you know, they want to keep it incredibly exclusive?
Yeah, they have definitely kept it, pretty closed off. And yeah, I've noticed they still have a review process for getting people signed up for LinkedIn Lives. And what they really do is I've talked to the team, and like, if you're on bigger accounts, they'll have a team that they can refer you to. And basically what they say is, you know, that team goes out to review your other social profiles and review the type of content you have and how many followers you have on those channels. So if you have content in a professional context, and then if you have certain number of followers, they never tell you exactly how many, but a threshold of number of followers, then you're a candidate for LinkedIn Live. So if you're trying to get on LinkedIn Live, my best advice is build up your other channels in a professional context, and then you're more likely to get approved on LinkedIn Live.
I love it. I knew that you'd have some some thoughts, some advice, some words of wisdom to walk away with from that. I'm also now looking for words of wisdom when it comes to like the algorithm from the organic perspective. Does the LinkedIn algorithm change as much as, you know, a Facebook or an Instagram algorithm? I know that every time there is a change, even a slight change on those social platforms, it just sends everybody in just kind of this tornado of like, oh my God, they changed it. So now I'm never going to be seen again. Do you think that LinkedIn has kind of that same algorithm issue challenge?
Not as much. I think LinkedIn is still a very content hungry platform where they're still looking for people to post more content. They want to encourage the conversation as much as possible. You know, it's not at the level as like Facebook is, where like Facebook has like too much content and they're trying to like tone it back.
Yeah.
LinkedIn still has a good opportunity to like go viral because they're still helping to push good organic content. So seeing is with the right strategies. Whereas if you have a lot of links in your posts, they take people off the platform. Those don't get boosted as much organically. What usually does the best is posts that don't have links, but instead maybe use like hashtags, tag other people, tag your company page instead of your link to your website. That's a way to, you know, get a little more organic boost out of it without getting hurt by the algorithm. And then video is good. LinkedIn is also looking for more video on their platform. Uh-huh. You know, people who are posting video are getting a little bit more boosted by the algorithm. I'd say use the new stories feature because there aren't many people using it because it is so brand new.
Yeah.
You'll get more boost that way also.
Excellent. Nice little tidbits for the algorithm. I like it.
Also, on the hashtags that you use, don't use like an Instagram, how many can I possibly fit into this post strategy, but instead it's like, I think 3 to 5 is kind of the ideal number, where more than that, then the algorithm thinks you're getting spammy and they'll also impact your posts.
That's really great advice. I've definitely seen those posts on LinkedIn that it almost feels a bit like that copy and paste. And I'm a big proponent for every single platform that you're on, the social media platform specifically, they all have their own objective. They're all their own individual, even though there are a lot of the same formats that you can use, right? Like the stories, there's stories on Facebook, there's stories on Instagram, but the way that you use stories, I would imagine on LinkedIn is a little bit different. I've seen a lot of people like post their images on stories, which I would expect on Instagram. But for some reason, because of LinkedIn being a very business-centered social media platform, my expectation has been like, okay, if I'm going to look at a story within your, you know, within your profile, then I'm expecting to get something back, I guess, and I'm expecting video. It's interesting how we're leaning so into video. Are you seeing that many of like the people that you work with are starting to lean more into just video in general because so many of the platforms are looking for that?
Yeah, organically. Organically, video, the platform is definitely boosting video more organically. One thing I will contrast is usually in ad campaigns, we actually do tend to use images more. Because on LinkedIn, you're usually paying by the click. And we see that people will click on videos before they really know what's in the video. And then you've paid for that click before somebody really knows what it's about. So for most ad campaigns, it's actually the opposite, where we'll usually start with images. And then once a campaign's converting well, then it's a candidate to go add video to that. Or if your goals are more brand awareness, then sure, you can use video there. But if you have a conversion-focused campaign for like leads or clicking through to a website, it's best to have an image because someone can just look at that, know exactly what it says, and digest it without getting confused.
Would you advise people just to use LinkedIn for conversions, or do you think it's a better approach to do brand awareness and conversions, or one or the other? And I would assume that it depends on your objective, but I think just based on the cost of a LinkedIn post, because of the value of being able to really hone in on your audience, should we just concentrate our LinkedIn ads really for conversion to maximize that return on investment?
My answer is actually more budget-based, whereas if you are budget conscious and just trying to drive the most efficient cost per lead, say, or cost per conversion out of your campaigns, then I'd stick to just like a lead capture or a web conversions campaign, stick to images, and then save your videos and save your other content for that retargeting and that follow-up sequence. But for the really big accounts that we work on, whose goal is like, how can we push as much as possible out of this platform? That's when we do add in a lot more of the brand awareness, top of funnel, and then retargeting with video afterwards. Because when you're trying to push as much traffic as you possibly can out of the platform, then having more touch points to warm people up who may not have converted originally, but put a video in front of them, then they'll know more and maybe be open to converting then later. That's when we start adding in a lot more brand awareness or engagement type of content.
Nice. At the top of our interview, we were talking about how laser focused you can get when it comes to finding that audience that you want to actually send that lead magnet to. How granular should someone start? Or like, for example, I know that you can do the location, obviously, the title, the company that they work for. Do you advise people to like, hey, pick your top three? That way you're serving it to the most? Or is there value in being super granular with it?
Yes, that's actually a big point. And I do recommend being as granular as makes sense on LinkedIn. It goes back to the you're paying for every click approach to it, where... And the best way to approach Facebook is give it a big audience and let the algorithm optimize for you and find the right person in that audience who's most likely to convert. It's also because on Facebook, you don't have the job title and company granularity that we do on LinkedIn. And on Facebook, you're paying for every impression, not necessarily every click. Whereas on LinkedIn, you're paying for every click. So you want to eliminate the chance of any irrelevant clicks or untargeted clicks that aren't going to be good for you. Because if you're paying 10 bucks a click, then you don't want to just be shelling out 10 bucks every time somebody clicks on your ad who might not be a fit. So we do get very laser targeted on the audiences. And it's usually picking the specific job titles, industries, and company sizes at a baseline of who we want to target. And then depending on the size of your audience, if it's still pretty big, we can get even more granular using like skills or groups that somebody's a part of. For example, if you're selling a programming course or even selling like a programming framework, maybe you want to target people with like the Java skill set who are Java developers and then sell them this Java framework. So skills are a great way to get very niche on who you're targeting. The difference is if you're going from Facebook to LinkedIn, don't just give it the same huge audience, but instead be very specific on who you want to target. As far as like locations go, I'd say whatever kind of makes sense for your business. If you serve US-wide, then give the algorithm US-wide and just get more specific on the titles.
Excellent. When it comes to just kind of advertising, there are D2C brands, there's, B2C, there's all of the acronyms. Who would you say should not be paying for LinkedIn ads, because I can't imagine that you're like, everyone should do LinkedIn ads. It obviously may not make sense for a fashion brand, or doesn't make sense for a fashion brand. Do you think that there's such a list of like, hey, these are the types of industries that work on LinkedIn, and these are the type of industries that don't work?
Yeah. So for the most part, we do see it's mostly B2B type of companies who are advertising on LinkedIn, just because that's where LinkedIn's great, is being able to target those job titles and those queries. You know, LinkedIn does have a more higher level, affluent audience, so there are people who can afford bigger purchases. The algorithm doesn't work as well in like an e-commerce context as, say, like Facebook's algorithm does. Facebook's algorithm is good for e-commerce, where they can currently track add to carts as people initiate checkout, when they purchase. Some of that tracking might be going away soon, but Facebook's algorithm is good for building and retargeting and all those steps, and just the algorithm doing a lot of that work for you. Whereas on LinkedIn, you're kind of just tracking a conversion. You can set up multiple conversions, but the platform isn't as equipped to do that for you.
Perfect. I also had another question. I promise I will be wrapping up soon, but I had a question in regards to the organic and paid, and maybe this falls in one or the other. I'm not sure, but we've got influencers for Instagram, right? And there are definitely influencers within LinkedIn, but I wouldn't call them influencers. To me, those are key opinion leaders. You know, they're the Gary V's, right? of LinkedIn. But you know, that's kind of, I think, what people strive for. Do you think that there is room in paid to kind of leverage key opinion leaders? Or do you think that's something that should kind of live and breathe in the organic LinkedIn world?
So for an example, there's one account that we're working with, and it's a pretty big account. And what they do is they have monthly events that they host. They host like celebrities to come talk to their group. And those are some of the best performing ones. And people want to sign up to attend that event with the celebrity. So, you know, in their ads and in their posts, of course, they'll tag that person. And then often they'll work with that person's PR team to make sure that they're sharing that post on their behalf.
Yeah.
Like those organic posts just go off the charts.
Yes.
So it can work in that context. Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. That definitely makes sense. And as promised, I am going to wrap it up. I do have one final question for you. And for me, this is the most fun question. It is the prediction time. So with the additions that LinkedIn had that we have already talked about, right? Like the stories, events, video cover stories, adding pronouns, I think that LinkedIn is just continuously expanding. What kind of changes do you see happening over the next year or so when it comes to LinkedIn?
Overall, we do see LinkedIn follows Facebook in a lot of ways. As some of the features that we talked about today, you know, stories are pretty new to LinkedIn, but other things are, they have an ad type that's kind of like a chatbot style. Uh-huh. Facebook's pages all have chatbots where you can like set it up to be a kind of a chatbot experience. But what we've seen also come out recently is a products pages feature. So now companies can list products and platforms that they have. I think this is going to be interesting in a lot of ways because, number one, LinkedIn groups aren't as great as I wish they were. So
yeah.
The hope I have is like, I hope LinkedIn groups get better because we've seen how active they have been on Facebook. My hope is groups get better on LinkedIn. But then also, I think that we're going to see a lot of activity around product pages on LinkedIn. I hope building communities around products, the grand scale, it's like, you know, people are going to subscribe to their products on LinkedIn they're using because they want to see news coming out for them. LinkedIn has like a newsletter feature that's relatively new. So mm-hmm. I think companies and products are going to be more continuing the conversation through LinkedIn. You know, we're seeing on other platforms a lot of tracking going away. And, yeah. You know, on email, you know, people always say, oh, email, it's hard to get on inboxes and stuff. You know, a lot of people use LinkedIn for the messaging component or in mail to get directly in contact with people. You know, that just kind of shows you're a lot more guaranteed to be able to deliver a message to somebody via LinkedIn and not worry about spam boxes. So I think we're going to see a lot around product pages and having people subscribe to those, and then companies publishing newsletters through LinkedIn to try to get in touch with their audience. I hope groups get better, but if they don't, I think we're going to see product pages get used a lot for kind of creating that community discussion.
I love that. And I do hope that LinkedIn groups do get better. I think Facebook has it so locked in with their groups. The level of engagement is so interesting on Facebook. I think there are a lot of people that are like, oh, Facebook's going to, you know, it's dying out. But I just don't think that it is. I think that there's value kind of on every platform, and especially LinkedIn. I mean, it's a great network to use to just leverage from a business perspective, but also to build your own persona on there as well too. You can have a personality. I mean, people can have the option to do business with anybody. You may as well show your personality on there in a business setting, of course, because not all things are created equal when you post it on LinkedIn. This has been fantastic. I appreciate all of these tips that you were able to provide. And, you know, my just badgering you with all of these actionable insights that I want people to walk away from, I just feel like LinkedIn is definitely kind of one of these unspoken about as much platforms when we talk about social media. So thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks for having me.
During my chat with Anthony, we dove into all things LinkedIn, from paid media to organic strategies and figuring out how to make them both work with you, not against you. He shared some great insights on the type of content for each paid option on LinkedIn, and even shared with us some insights on how to work with the LinkedIn algorithm to help boost your organic presence on the channel. Want to hear more? Be sure to subscribe to the Grin Gets Real podcast to get the latest episodes. Give us some stars, I wouldn't mind 5 of them, and leave us a review. We want to hear what you love about it. If you're interested in learning more about Grin, visit our website at grin.co. That's grin.co. Until next time, keep grinning.